Yo, this is George Dr. Funkenstein Clinton saying you're listening to Life Minute TV.
At 84, soon to be 85, legendary funk master George Clinton shows no signs of slowing down. He took a break from mixing new music in the studio recently to tell me all about the inaugural P-Funk Festival he's planning for later this month, plus his decades-long career working with everyone from Prince to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and why the best is still yet to come. This is a Life Minute with George Clinton.
So April 11th, the inaugural P-Funk Festival. Tell us about it.
I'm going to be there with a whole bunch of the family and family groups of P-Funk. All of the people that probably play with us probably going to be there. I know we're going to have a great time, and it's right down the street from my house in Tallahassee. Yeah, so it's going to be wild, and everybody's going to be playing the funk all day long. So I'll probably be out there with some of the grandkids early in the day, because I'm going to have a good time. That's I'm going to use it as the excuse, ham it up all day long. And we'll probably be able to do a lot of songs that people never heard us do, because we have all day to do it. Something to do every year.
That's amazing, and good for you, your 85th birth year. I can't believe it. You don't look it. You look amazing. You're one of the godfathers of funk. How does it feel to be revered that way?
I feel good. I feel it's a good excuse to get out here and still be a part of what's going on. Now, it definitely feel good. I'd be lying if I didn't say, but I try to entertain that later on when I'm finished. I ain't finished right now, so I don't want to sit around and gloat on how good it is. I got to do some more in order to be out here.
That's fair. Did you always know you wanted to be a musician? How did you get into it?
It was embedded in my brain. I wasn't going to do nothing else. I did hair just to keep me afloat and in style. No, I knew this was it. Music and, songwriting and creating. That was it. 1955, 56, rock and roll was just being born. So I was around right from the beginning of that Bobby Sox Blue Jean phenomenon. And we just got television, just all of that stuff came. It imprinted me really deep at 13 when Frankie Lyman came out with Why Do Fools Fall in Love. And I saw that, he was the Michael Jackson of that era.
And Plainfield, New Jersey, it seems like a lot of the music scene came from that area. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, Plainfield. I lived in Newark. I rode to Plainfield every morning for the barbershop. So I think it was in the water because I got a band out of there two times, Hazel, Billy Nelson and Bernie Worrell, Isida, Cordell Mawson, Glenn Gowan. I mean, just on and on. And they was all right there. And you're like 10 years old, hanging around my barbershop.
Wow. And tell us about the start of it, a doo-wop group, right? The Parliaments were the start of it?
That's where we were doo-wopping it. The barbershop was it came from seeing Frankie Lyman and his doo-wop group. And then I used to go to the Apollo Theater every week and watch all the different Cadillacs, the Heartbeats. And that was, my first love. Until 59, Smokey Robinson and Motown came out with Shop Around, The Temptations, My Girl. That kind of like what we did in the barbershop in Plainfield. We doo-wop until we were able to get our first record out, which was 67, I Want to Testify. By that time, Motown was getting ready to go to California, become a movie company with Diana Ross. So we were there with a hit record, and the whole scene was changing from Motown to rock music. Now you got Led Zeppelin, Beatles, and that type of stuff. So we hooked up with the MC5, Iggy Pop, and we was on the Detroit scene. I mean, and we became a rock band. That's why you see the Maggot Brain and the Funkadelic side. That's where we changed into that, like 71, as Funkadelic and Parliament. Bootsy comes along that same time. So we got a Bootsy now. The Parliament Funkadelic Mint thing with the Bootsy and a spaceship.
Yeah, Yes, the spaceship. How did that come to be?
We got a hit record. We Want the Funk, and we had the owner of the record company Casablanca was Neil Bogart, who I had known over the years, who was a hustler promotion man. So I knew he knew what a gimmick was about. He knew how to get the right props. Pink Floyd was really big with their props, you know, and they were the only one doing that at that scale. And Hair and all of that was influencing us. You know, we saw that our show could be a play. So I said, well, we got a hit record. I got a owner of the record company who don't mind height. Get me a spaceship. And with that, I'll promote the next 4 or 5 albums. He did that, and we did. We promoted Bootsy, Parliament, Brides, Parlette. Everybody was promoted with that one spaceship, and it lasted longer than we thought, because as soon as we came back with the spaceship, hip-hop come along and started sampling the stuff, and off we go again.
Yeah, and you were the first to do all that stuff, the big hair, the costume.
Oh yeah, the barbershop there. And like I said, we were there from the beginning of rock and roll. So yeah. We watched it as it gradually grew through Motown and through the Beatles and all that. So we kind of like knew where we were going if we got a chance. And we had a pretty good team that helped us through it.
What do you consider some of the highest points of your career?
Now?
Now? Why do you say that?
I haven't finished what I'm doing, so... That's the way I look at it. I still feel like it's ascending. You know, right. We had to leave the planet out of a spaceship and wait for everybody to get ready to go. So I'm thinking it's getting close to the time for us to do that.
Well, you know what they say, 85 is a new 55.
Now I'll just reclone myself and keep on going anyway.
You're still a youngster yet. How do you feel about the massive influence you've had on the younger generation? Like you said, especially hip hop artists who've sampled everything.
It's the DNA of, you know, of all booty shaking music. It's the DNA in music, period. Funk is, there's a bit of funk everywhere. We just keep it together. We try to help be the definition of, you know, of what we are doing. We try to be involved with the interpretation piece. Well, half of us, so we don't never leave that up to just the PR or the public, or definitely not the record companies. We've always tried to manage our own direction, and right now it's pretty good because you can do that on the internet real good. And we know how to clown, we know how to trend, and that seemed to be, back in the day, you had to work hard to trend. You had to go out and get a PR firm to do all that stuff.
Tell us a little bit about your producing career too, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, for example.
That was, it still is probably prized, you know, because they're friends, you know, right out of Michigan too. And they stayed true to the funk. And we, you know, I was Flea's best man at his wedding. So they're really, you know, funky, like, you know, like they were when they first started as kids. They, you know, a lot of people don't know that with Roger and Zapp. We did stuff with Thomas Dobie. I did one with Prince of Paradigm. A lot of people should look online. That's one of my favorite songs.
Call me Shapeshifter.
Being around Detroit and Motown, you had a chance to see the greatest producers in the world. You know, Stevie as a kid. You know, the Holland Dozier, Holland, Barry Gordy, Smokey. It was like a college of producers and writers. So that became like part of our whole thing. Bootsy, Gary Scheider, Bernie, Clip Payne. The band is still like that to this day. Danny Bedrosian, you'll see the band we have right now is as hot and as lively as we ever were.
I'm going to make you sick of me, then I'm going to give you the antidote.
What does music do for people?
It's got to be some kind of communication, and it's got to be a lot more than we can actually interpret. I mean, I'm always into the belief of frequency is healing and all of that, that it has a property about it that we don't even understand scientifically yet, that we just dance to it and listen to it, feel good. So it do something on that level, spiritual and all those. But I think it's got something else, you know, that's directly connected to the planet.
Maybe it'll come take us on a spaceship and take us away.
Well, yeah, it's going to do all of that.
Where did the name funk even come from?
I don't know. You know, but musically, you know, you had a lot of blues and jazz musicians who, you know, who felt it or said the word funky. And I don't know, it always have made you frown your nose up when it get real good and it's really funky, like, you know, a James Brown or New Orleans, or just when it's just so funky, it makes you get that, ooh, that look in your nose. So it's a hot, warm, damp place to give life. Could be birth.
Who's that, the spaceship?
That's the spaceship. Ding dong.
Are there any new bands that you're into, or any new music, or just old stuff?
You know, it's a bunch of Hollywood musicians that like when I worked with Kendrick Lamar, the To Pimp a Butterfly, Kamasi Washington, Flying Lotus, and Thundercats, and all those guys out there in the crew. I'm working with some of them now.
What's your secret to longevity?
Oh, probably paying attention to the stuff that get on my nerve. You find some new music that get on your nerve and it's working, you want to figure out how is that working, which is what we work. We got on people's nerve. But that was the intention. I mean, that was rock, funk, all of that was to be something that your parents wasn't, to be something that your big brothers and sisters wasn't, you know. They always seemed like they were trying to be funky, but when we gonna be funkier?
And of course, you're inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. Were you proud of that or happy about that?
Oh, yeah, I tried to pretend that it didn't at first, but, you know, because we was around right from the very beginning, you know, when they literally put the building together, and I helped them get a lot of stuff from different people that I was proud of. I actually inducted Sly Stone in there, and then Prince inducted us in there, you know, so it's... I met a lot of friends that I hadn't seen in years, you know, like actually Mavis Staples and got inducted the same time we did. The Jacksons got inducted and we hadn't seen them for years, you know, and they had grown up and it was all of that by then. And I went back to see the Chili Peppers when they got inducted. Uh-huh. And up there jamming Michael falling off the stage. It's all of that. You know, you want to be hardcore when you're growing up, but once you get there, no, it was good to see your friends and everything there.
Well, they actually got it right with you guys. Sometimes they take too long to induct people. What was Prince like?
Oh, quiet, but he knew exactly what he was doing, what he wanted to do. I mean, the only person I can think like that is Kendrick Lamar. He was about the same age that I met Prince at, and he knew what he was doing. He learned. He paid attention to ourselves and Earth, Wind, and Fire, who was just preceding him. So he had his business model mind made up, and he got it right. And he's the best at that part of it. But he really soft spoken. But like I said, he worked hard. He had you working. You earned that day's pay. He paid him good, but you was on call all day long. Yeah. If he decided to do a show at 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody was there, and he did that.
What about guitar players? Who are some of your favorites?
Well, he's one of them. He's one of them, but I'm definitely going to say Eddie Hazel with us was definitely. Jimi Hendrix was time favorite. Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, Lightning Hopkins, you know, Sister Rosetta Thorpe's. She's like the queen of rock and roll.
And how do you keep your voice in check? Do you do anything?
I'm just not getting that. I never paid too much attention to that other than when I'm making the record. Once I get on the stage, I'm hollering. I usually don't pay the bill. Now I actually, you know, I'm 85. I got the excuse. I'm tired. So I can actually sit down and sing now and be really quiet. But I'm so hyped that I have to be careful because I will get hoarse quick if I let my feelings go. But I got enough qualified people in the band that if you miss a note, 10 people going to get it for you. And that's part of the image of the group over the years. You never know, but you know all the members by name, so it's cool to see who do what when they do it.
Well, I can't wait to see it. That'll be fun. So besides yourself, who else would be on your Mount Rushmore of funk?
Oh, I ain't messing with that.
Maybe Sly. I see Sly on your hat.
Okay, James Brown, Sly Prince.
You're in the studio right now recording. What are you working on? Is there something new coming?
Funk. Oh, it's some funk coming.
Well, we'll have to talk to you again for that. Thank you so much, George.
Definitely will.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.